Let them know. Come on, Nip.
Someone to make me happy.
Nothing. Hey.
Y'all don't know nothing about that. My girl got jams. You hear me? My girl Nip got jams, baby. And y'all steady whenever y'all want to hear Whitney. Y'all listen to that punk-ass Bodyguard soundtrack, honey. And my girl's got hits. But anyway, hey, y'all. How y'all doing? You have to excuse me, honey. This is the first episode, so it may be a little rocky. I've never done this before in this type of format where I just have free reign to do and say whatever the fuck I feel, and that's what I plan to do. But anyway, guys, hey, it is me, Larry Andrew, your host, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Black, Bipolar, and Fabulous. I'll say it once again, I am your host, Larry Andrew, and for those of you who don't know me, I am a sickening fashion designer, darling. I am a chef. I am a professional shit talker, and if I am in the midst, guaranteed, I am the coordinator of the shenanigans and the fuckery. Welcome. This podcast really has no format. I don't know what to tell you. If you came looking for cute look categories, honey, and you know, things wrapped up in neat little boxes, and we talk about this here, then we wrap that up, then we talk about that there, this ain't it, honey. It's just me in a room by myself with my random thoughts, and today with today with a little Bacardi straight and a Corona chaser. So that's what we're dealing with today, good people. No, but seriously, this podcast is called Black, Bipolar, and Fabulous because what I want to do, I'm all about having a good time. I'm all about having fun. But at the same time, I want to bring awareness to mental health. And you don't have to be all stodgy and stuffy and serious to do it. Bitch, I can make you laugh, have a good time, make you just about pee on yourself, honey, while enlightening and educating you at the same time. And that's basically what this podcast is all about, you know. We're going to talk about some pop culture. We're going to talk about, you know, current events, all that stuff. It's just going to be a hodgepodge of just about everything. And I'm so glad that you guys are tuning in to our first episode. Well, I say our like it ain't nobody, but like it's like six other bitches in this room. It ain't nobody but me, child. It's just me. You know, I may have a guest from time to time, but, you know, it may be sporadic. Hey, you know, for the most part, it's just me. I think I'm entertaining enough to keep your attention. But let's jump right in. That was I Belong to You by Whitney Houston, one of my favorite singer and one of my favorite songs by her. You know, I want to play something, you know, like a little lesser known, you know, like let people get into, you know, the magic that is Whitney. And speaking of Whitney, have you guys seen the Whitney documentary? I've seen it twice now. The first time I saw it, you know, was to get all of my emotional shit out because, you know, I'm a super fan and all that shit. I feel a way about Whitney the way you young bitches feel about Beyonce these days. You know, Whitney's my girl. So I had to go see it first and, you know, get all the emotion and the tears and stuff out. And then when I went and saw it the second time, you know, I was able to really get into the context of the film and the details and things like that. And while I did enjoy it, I feel like it gave my girl her just due. However, I wanted to see more of Whitney's artistry. I wanted to see more of Whitney in the studio in the early years. I wanted to see what went into putting the magic together with Whitney. You understand what I'm saying? I wanted to see all of that stuff. You know, we know Whitney had her troubles. We know Whitney had her demons, which ultimately led up to her untimely death. We get all of that. My whole thing is, baby, we know all of that. Tell us about the motherfucking magic, okay? That's what we, the super fans, wanted to know about. But anyway, yes, so we are going to continue to delve in to this episode. Like I said, baby, there's no format. It's just me in a candlelit room with a cocktail and a beer. So I really hope that you guys enjoy everything that I have for you today. Like I said, baby, there's no format. There's no real, you know, order here. You know, we just gonna go until we go. Baby, it may be 10 minutes, it may be 100, you know, however the Lord uses me, because sometimes he don't take all day. I just wish some pastors would realize that, honey, you know. And that's another thing. And speaking of, you know, I'm about to go off on a tangent about church. Black churches, listen, Jesus don't take all day. Listen, Sundays are for church, true enough, praise the Lord, but Sundays are also for brunch. And that's why I love my church, because in the summer we have an hour of power. You have two separate services to choose from. You have an 8 to 9 o'clock, and then you have a 9:30 to 10:30. That's just enough time for me to beat the brunch rush. You know what I'm saying? That's just enough time for me to get there before the champagne gets watered down for the mimosas. You know, other churches, child, they don't start till 11. That's what time brunch start. Then they want to go till about 1:30, 2 o'clock. That's what time brunch is over. So I done sat in church all day and I done missed my mimosas and my eggs benedict and my bacon and my veggie omelet and all of that. No, I'm going to need for services to start a little bit earlier. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Like I said, baby, this is totally random off the top of my head, honey. I hope you're still here listening. But on a serious note, I do want to give you guys a little bit more background concerning me. Because I know y'all probably like, who's this loudmouth queen? Had like one too many just running off at the mouth. Trust me, there is a purpose for the podcast. The podcast is called Black, Bipolar, and Fabulous. I am obviously black. I am obviously fabulous. But I definitely want to talk about the bipolar part of that today. I want to give you guys a little bit of background before we go into further episodes, you know, just so you can have a little background about my story, so I can tell you guys a little bit more about bipolar disorder if you're not familiar, because there are like some myths that I want to shatter. There are some, I just really want to try to get people to understand what it's like when your brain has a chemical imbalance. I often tell people that for me, there is no middle ground. You know how most people, you know, you ask them how they're feeling. It's just like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm cool. You know, there's, you know, it's not necessarily on top of the world, not necessarily underneath it. You know, they just ride the middle, and that's cool. That's where most people are. Me, on the other hand, and because I suffer from bipolar 1 disorder, and that's where I have extreme periods of mania, and that's where you're on top of the world. I mean, you are just on top of the mountain. Everything is great, and it's such a rush, and you just speed, and everything is fast, and everything is quick, and you talk fast, and you're just excited, and everything's just go, 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 go. Everything is great, 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 great. But then there's a flip side to that as well. There's an irritation that comes along with that. And I know with me, it can turn into a rage. I remember I was dating someone once, and we got into an argument, and I grabbed his shirt at the collar, and I didn't even realize how hard I pulled it, but I completely ripped the front of the shirt, and he just sat there, just looked frightened, and I couldn't do anything but just sit there and look, because I'm like, wow, I cannot believe I was that angry to the point where I did this. And so you have those periods. And then almost, you know, you'll have that period for, I think the longest I've gone on a mania period is probably about 6 months. Usually they can last anywhere from 7 days, but the max I've ever gone is just 6 months on that high. And it is just so, so, so exhausting. And I just don't. Wow. It's really difficult to explain. And then there is the part where I say where I feel like I'm underneath the world, where the deep set depression sets in and I can't do any work. I literally can't do anything. I'll have days where I just don't get out of bed and I don't open the blinds and I can literally sleep for days at a time. And before I sought treatment, before I realized something was wrong and I sought treatment, I just thought that everybody operated like that. I just thought everybody had, you know, extreme highs and extreme lows. And I just thought that was normal. But in 2004, I actually attempted to commit suicide. I was at a point in my life where, because I'm a fashion designer and I had had some success to the point where I had dressed some celebrities and things just kind of snowballed at one time. And I was literally making about 15 to 20 dresses a week by myself. The money was great, but I didn't have anyone to help me. Where I was living at the time in Milwaukee, there wasn't anyone, you know, to where I could outsource the work. So I was doing everything by myself. I was doing pattern gradings. I had orders for boutiques. And, you know, it's what should have been one of the most exciting times in my life was one of the most miserable. Stress is definitely not the best when you suffer from bipolar disorder, especially bipolar 1. And I was just under so much stress and there were things going on in my personal life that I hadn't dealt with, that I hadn't addressed. And just all those things just kind of piled up on one another. And it wasn't the first time that I'd had suicidal thoughts. I have actually suffered from mental illness since I was a kid. You know, looking back, having been diagnosed and now having received proper treatment, I can look back on times and realize that, hey, you know, like that particular instance, okay, you know, that was mania. I would be the class clown, you know, I was friends with everybody, you know, be all over the place. And then there would be periods where you wouldn't know that I was there because I was just so withdrawn and became very invisible during those periods of depression. And I wasn't doing any work and my schoolwork was suffering. I would go through periods where I would do really, really well in school. And then I would go through periods where I would just do horrible and my grades would tank. And I stayed in so much trouble because my parents, you know, didn't know anything about mental illness and they didn't think to say, hey, you know, well, let's see, you know, let's have Larry looked at, you know, and find out what's going on. You know, it's just, you know, equated to me being lazy in school. And I just look at periods like that and I just think, oh, okay, you know, that's when I was going, you know, through a very manic period. And then, you know, that's when I was just at a very low point. And like I said, I can recognize it now. And even as a kid, when I would be in my low points, I would always have suicidal thoughts. I remember being as early as 9-10 years old, wondering what it would be like if I killed myself. And it's just a very scary place to be in. And as an adult, you know, logically, you don't think logically when you're in that place. And you just constantly think, you know, like nobody's around, nobody cares. And those thoughts play over and over in your mind. And you try to combat, you know, like with positive thoughts and things like that. But it just, during that time, it's just very hard to be positive, at least for me. Like, I fight very hard to be positive and to just strive during those periods when I'm in a very depressive state like that. And with all of the pressures going on in my life, I decided that I had just had enough. And I never forget it. It was at the end of August 2014, and I had a lot of friends over. We had went to a festival that they have in Milwaukee called Jazz in the Park. We all met up there, hung out, and then we all came back to my house, and, you know, I had food and things like that. That's my thing. I'm very big on entertaining and hosting and things like that. So, you know, we had food and there were drinks and, you know, music, and everybody was just having a really good time. And I remember that night very vividly because I had made up in my mind that I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this tonight. When everybody leaves, when it's all done, this is what I am going to do. And, you know, party ends. And I think my friend Mike, he usually will leave my house last. But for some odd reason, he left first. He and another friend left first. And, you know, everybody just really started to trickle out. And this one particular Thursday, my friend Demetrius was there. And he was just kind of lingering around. And it was really weird. It was really weird because, you know, Demetrius is always God. You're never the only stop on Demetrius. You were never the only stop on Demetrius's calendar. So he would always be like, okay, I'm going to stop through. I'm going to go somewhere else. He never stayed to the end. This particular time, he stayed to the end. And I remember after the last person left and it was just him, and I just started cleaning up, and he just kind of stood around and he was like, "You all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, bitch, I'm fine. You know, cool, whatever." You know, and he was just like, "Are you sure?" I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just like intuition, or he could just like sense that something was off with me. But it was very, he was very slow to leave. And he just said, "Are you sure you're okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm good." So he was like, "All right." And he was like, "I'm gonna get ready to leave." He was like, "And I'll see you later." And I'm like, "All right." So he leaves. And I just remember I cleaned up. I mean, to the point to where I like mopped floors, everything. Like, my house was completely pristine when I finished. And I went, took a shower, put on pajamas, and somebody who I was dating at the time had Percocets for whatever reason, and they were at my house. So I took the bottle of Percocets and some Ketel One, and I just downed the entire bottle, and I just drank that Ketel One like water, and I just chugged it. And I just remember laying across the bed on my stomach, and I went to sleep. And I thought that was going to be it. And I just knew that I was going to wake up on the other side of peace. That is not what happened. I don't know how long I was asleep, but I woke. But I woke up, and I woke up vomiting. And I mean, it was just to the point to where it was just so much coming out, and I could not stop. And it, I don't know how long it went for, but it just never stopped. And then I just collapsed in it, and I just laid there, and I just cried. And I just remember crying because, not because, you know, it was just like a sigh of relief, like, oh, you know, like, I'm okay. I just cried because it didn't work. And I just laid there, and I just cried, and I cried, and I passed out. And I don't remember much after that. All I remember is wait, when I woke up, my friend Demetrius was there, and we were in the hospital. And I remember doing, you know, like the mental evaluation, and they were trying to find out, you know, like family. They were trying to get in contact with family. And, you know, I convinced Demetrius not to alert my family. And he stood in as my family for me. And I got evaluated, and I had to stay in the hospital for 2 days. And shortly after after my mental evaluation was when I found out that when I was diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder. And, you know, they prescribed me medicines, and I took them for a while, but it made me lose my muse. When I would sit down to create, nothing would come across. I would just sit there and nothing would come. So I stopped taking the medicine, and I would have these episodes where I would just go up and down for the next few years. And I just recently got on a regimen where they have regulated my medicines to where, you know, like I can work and do the things that I need to do. And, you know, everything is okay. Not to say that I don't have periods where, you know, I still have like those extreme swings, because I do. And I just had one recently, actually, where I was in a very depressive state for almost a year, actually. I actually lost my friend who came back to my house and found me. And it just really put me in a bad headspace. And not only that, but just with work and all of that and all of those things that, you know, you go through trying to navigate this industry. And I had moved to a new city and it wasn't working the way that I wanted it to, and all of that stress. So I went back under again. And, you know, it's one of those things now where I'm slowly coming out of it, and I can definitely see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's not easy. And I hate to hear people say things like, oh, girl, why you acting like, girl, you acting bipolar, you know, like you crazy, you this, you that. And I'm just like, that, I hate to hear that, because people have no idea what those swings are like, and what those, how those episodes are, and how exhausting they are, both mentally and physically. And it's not just you going through it. You're not dealing with this by yourself. Everyone around you is dealing with it as well, because it affects your decision making. It affects your work. It just really takes a toll on everything. And, you know, I just, like I said, I'm taking my medicines like I'm supposed to. And now, like I said, you know, I'm starting to feel level again. You know, I'm able to, you know, just kind of, when difficult decisions come, they don't completely overwhelm me. And that's what would happen when difficult decisions would come when I was in that depressive state. I would just kind of like just step back and just not deal with it. But now I'm able to just kind of step up and say, okay, you know, let's assess this, let's figure this out, and let's figure out how this is going to work, or what we can do to change whatever needs to be changed. That is what this podcast will be dealing with. We are going to discuss our mental health. We are going to do pop culture, just our wellness all in general. Like I said, this is very random. I know it was all over the place. I was just testing it out. I'm pretty sure when we do this again next week, It will definitely have more of a format. We're going to work that out. But I've wanted to do this for a long time, and I've always been a chicken shit about it. So this was just my first run to see how it would go. And I'm pretty sure, you know, as we advance, we're going to go back to this episode and just laugh. But I'm very excited that I got my first episode under my belt. And I don't know, hopefully you guys took something from my story, me sharing the things that I have been through. You know, you guys really check on your friends. I know we've all got busy lives and we've all got our own shit that we are dealing with. But for real, check on your friends, especially the ones who appear to have it all together, whose lives appear perfect. They could be silently struggling. I mean, look at me. I attempted to kill myself literally, and I had like 25 people in my house and had just had a party and we were having a good time and everybody just thought I was okay. And I was literally dying inside, but I never shared that. You know, I was still cracking the jokes and pouring the drinks and twirling to my jams and all of that good stuff. But inside, I was dead, and I didn't know how to express that to anybody. So I definitely want to say, find someone that you can confide in. Find someone that you can trust. Therapy works, y'all. Trust me. You know, find the doctor for you. I can't stress that enough. Don't just take, you know, like the first suggestion. If there's a specific type of doctor that you want, let your health provider know. They will definitely take care of that for you and provide that information for you. We in the Black community, we don't take our mental health seriously. And when someone harms themselves or they commit suicide, that's when we get shocked. And then it's all, oh, well, we need to love on each other. Well, my thing is, even in between these periods, when these tragedies happen, we need to be checking on each other and we need to be loving on each other. And I know I need to do a better job of that myself, because I know that I spend so much time trying to keep me together that I neglect those that are around me. So I'm definitely striving to do a better job at that as well. And that is what Black Bipolar and Fabulous is all about. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a good time, but we're also going to make an impact and put a dent in the stigma that is Black mental health. Once again, you guys, this is Larry Andrew. I thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk next time. Peace and blessings.